This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yep, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you here. Let's get to our question of the day. What is the greatest innovation to you in sports history? 713-572-4610, because Mike Patrick, who is a well-renowned, or at least was, right? I feel it's always weird when someone passes.
That moment.
But yeah, Mike Patrick passed at the age of 80 yesterday. Good run, right?
I think terrific run.
Good run. 80 is a good run. I think we can judge. And legendary broadcaster. And I think this is where my youth will show, because like, he's not one of the ones that immediately comes to mind for me. Mm-hmm. And so we'll go through, I guess, a little bit through the Wayback Machine and refresh at least my personal memory of what Mike Patrick's resume is. But one of the ones that in particular that I definitely did not know about was about way back when we first were introduced as a football watching public on ESPN in 1998. To the first and 10 line, the yellow, or at that point he actually called it golden, mm-hmm. line on the field, on the broadcast. And this is how he explained it to America.
Welcome back to Baltimore. To help you better enjoy our Sunday night coverage, ESPN unveils its latest technical innovation on tonight's game. It's ESPN's first and 10. The gold-colored line you'll see appears to be painted on the field, but it's really being electronically generated by us. It's a visual reference for you to always know the yard line an offense has to reach for a first down. While it is accurate to 1/10 of a yard, it won't be used to question officials' marks or measurements. It is purely to help you enjoy and understand the
yes,
game.
Yes, it will.
ESPN's first and 10. We think you're going to like it.
Oh, we love it.
He did. I was like, yo, this is an incredible explanation. He hit all the points. He made sure to...
And the pipes.
The tonal quality was very good.
Yeah.
But then he also made sure to know. He's like, I know what question y'all about to ask. No, we will not. They can't see this on the field. We will not talk about...
you guys.
Right. Yeah. They will not go... the refs will not have any level of a review or what have you based
on
this.
But we sure will and have.
That's right.
He crossed the yellow line.
One of the things I didn't realize how accurate was on first was utilized.
Yeah.
What did he say? A tenth of a yard?
A tenth of a yard.
I was like, damn, I didn't realize it was that accurate to begin with. Yeah. So, but shout out to obviously Mike Patrick, but that obviously is what got us to the place of this question of the mm-hmm. day. What to you is the greatest innovation in sports history?
That is really high on the
list. That one's strong. I was wondering, how did people even watch the game without the yellow line,
it's
man?
It's funny you asked, Figgy, because Reggie was just talking about, he doesn't even remember, this coming out. It's always been a part of most of your sports watching life.
Yeah, modern memory.
I'm old enough to remember when they first started putting the down and distance on the screen. Like before that, it was just like, I think it's 3rd and 4, 5, something like that. And then they would put 3rd and 2. I'm like, holy crap, this is awesome. This is awesome. So I'm old enough to remember that. But this one is definitely on the, to this day, it just makes the viewing experience so much better. But I gotta give it up to a texter. I think there's a really strong competitor to this one. And we can certainly talk about a number of different things. I don't have it in front of me, but someone said the strike, the K-box.
Yeah, that you get on television broadcast. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It really is. However, I actually think maybe this is me being a contrarian. I always try and acknowledge when I might be getting into those spaces. Mm-hmm. But I kind of actually have come to realize where it is becoming a crutch, the K-Box, mm-hmm. because obviously, just like Mike Patrick explained there, they don't see the K-Box or what have you, and until we get automated balls and strikes in baseball, like, it is not the way that this thing is called. And sometimes we be getting out here seeing something in that K-Box, and it's mm-hmm. like, nope, he didn't call that. And I feel like I was able to better visualize the strike zone that the ump was creating when that K-Box was not there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that...
I'd still rather have it.
Probably so.
I'd still rather have it.
Probably so, right? I will acknowledge that.
Yeah.
But I think that the K-Box actually probably serves to make me more mad than anything.
Oh, for sure that.
To me, it make you judge the umpire.
Yes.
Like, dog, that was in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you looking
there
at?
There were a couple last night in the Astros game where I was like, boy, you're an idiot. How'd you miss that? Okay, so I'm going to go back in the Wayback Machine again, too, here, because these are some, and you can go back as far as you want or as recently as you want. Again, don't judge me. Don't call me an old fogey or anything. I'm just old enough, put it that way. I remember slow motion, man.
That came in on 979 on the text line, 1960. Slow motion paved the way for everything.
Well,
oh my goodness.
That's before I was even born, so maybe I just remember it, you know, as a youth marveling at it. But
I just read the text.
But yeah, I don't know exactly what year it was, but I was like, ooh, this is amazing. And somebody mentioned this. You can go back as far as you want. The Zamboni for hockey.
Once you get clean ice?
They used to have to do that by hand.
Oh, God.
They used to have to clean the ice between periods by hand.
Yeah. Oof. Best luck to y'all.
Yeah.
Some other ones that came in. Our guy Phoenix Marcus on the YouTube page said, in his house is the three-point line.
Mm-hmm.
Pops made him go shoot from distance. As soon as he's like, hey. we got a new opportunity. There's a new avenue to show your acumen.
Well, something right now, I do like how they show the distance of the three-pointer. Like, I think that might be an ESPN thing, but mm-hmm. whenever, like, Steph Curry shoot, they show, like, 25 feet or 26 feet or whatever the feet is. I do kind of like that to kind of show how far it was.
I like that, but I hate, sorry, Reggie, hit probability. What the bleep are we doing here?
In basketball?
Or in baseball?
I think it's good context.
It is awful.
I think it's great context.
It doesn't, like there was one last night on that terrific catch that Jeremy Pena made.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I guess it was, who was in right field? Was it Cam? Yeah, Cam had 75% catch probability on that. And I'm like, he didn't even catch it. Jeremy Pena caught it. I mean, so does it go against Cam? Did he miss that ball? It's stupid.
I think it helps you contextualize the situation where, like, because sometimes, and we can acknowledge this, there's sometimes that it looks like, oh, man, that was an easy ball to get to, and you talk to the people that know, and they're like, actually, no. That is a lot more difficult than you give it credit for, and I think that it serves to open this thing up a little bit more to us casuals, and I say that, obviously, mm-hmm. tongue-in-cheek, but to us that are, like, not actually doing this at that high of level as to, okay, no, this is a more difficult situation than probably meets the eye. And that's one of the things that's incredible about sports mm-hmm. is that they make the easy stuff or the difficult stuff look easy, and sometimes I need you to help me bring that back into the you know, proper context of, oh, no, that actually is really hard.
It's stupid.
How y'all speaking of that, how y'all feel about when they do the, like, I guess the probable of – if you down 1-2 in the count.
Oh, win probability?
Yeah. Like
the probability of getting a hit. Like, yeah.
I thought you meant win probability.
Apple TV does this a lot. Apple TV does this a lot where
it's like down 1-2. It's like you got a 10% chance of getting on base or getting a hit or something like that. How y'all feel about that?
To me, that's a bit much. That's in the same realm as you know, probability.
I'll be kind of hate watching a little bit. Like, I want to see how wrong this becomes. This dude going to hit a home run of 1-2.
But I do like win probability. That's always fun to see those lines, you know, like on a big comeback or something.
He's like, stop telling me numbers. Give me graphs that my eyes look at. Some other ones that came in, photo finish and horse racing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
How about the remote control?
Somebody someone did say the remote control, because back in the day,
I would have to sit.
As a child, you are the remote control. No, if you don't get up and change that.
You're talking to one.
Yeah.
My dad
would
put me right in front of the TV. Okay, put it on 7. Put it on 4. I was like,
oh. You were red zone back in the day. Hey, flip over.
This one is a little nerdy. This is shout out to all the, I guess, the marketing and sales people. But whenever you notice when you're watching a basketball game
mm-hmm.
and how on the floor it say like HEB or it say Mo Karam Law or something like that. like that's not actually on the floor.
Correct.
Yeah. At one point, you have to put that stuff on the floor.
Yeah.
I kind of like that a little bit, man. Mm-hmm. I feel like they could. I sound like a salesperson.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry, I don't care that much. Good for them that they can up the money, but that don't do much for me personally.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that because at one point you had to put it on the floor. You had to put it on the
grounds crew. You're saving the grounds crew some headaches.
Yeah, now anybody could get their name on that floor.
But what is nice about that, particularly in basketball, is that I've seen like TNT utilize that to put actually put some of the information that would be in that box on, you know, on the side on the field, so your eyes can stay a little bit closer to the action. I think that's kind of been an interesting continuation. Some people mentioned it. 713. Don't forget the golf tracer. Huge.
Oh yes.
Huge. Because sometimes trying to watch that, see that golf ball, especially on an overcast day.
Hey, how about Rory shot?
How the hell am I supposed to see where that is?
How about Rory shot the curved around?
Yeah, you get a so much better understanding what's happening. Yes, 832. The Fox Box changed basketball for sure. Basketball shot clock. Huge. Huge.
That's a big one.
Taking the game into a place where, hey, we have some pace, we have some urgency, as opposed to the time wasting that can happen. Somebody said the challenge flag. That's an interesting one as well. For me, one of the ones that I actually thought about, because it comes to another legendary broadcaster, as again, we're saluting Mike Patrick in this instance, was the Telstrator.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
being yeah, able to good, being able to bring, because that's one thing about these broadcasts, is that when you have that analyst there, they're supposed to be able to bring the game a little bit more, make it more accessible. And it's one thing to have the visual and then being able to talk through it. It's another thing to be able to like diagram on top of it. And I think that it made us as a football watching public so much smarter.
Let me ask
being
you
able
this.
To actually draw onto that 100%. Onto that game.
Let me ask you this. A year from now, 5 years from now, are we going to be saying that the electronic first down is the greatest? I think maybe.
It'll be helpful.
I think maybe.
It'll be hugely helpful. Because someone else was talking about the Hawkeye technology in tennis, and I think that was great. But I think I do want. I don't know how much time it'll save ultimately, but I think maybe that's time
accuracy.
Savings. But
yeah,
that'll absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder how much the innovations as we continue to go, because a lot of the ones that we were talked about were kind of far back.
Mm-hmm.
How much like innovations as we continue to go become less and less? They feel less and less big because of all the technology that we're used to.
This is true.
You know,
or you just expect it. You know,
and shout out to the 713 reiterating one that Sean said earlier. Red zone, like an ability to keep track with a lot of games in a way that we hadn't prior. So, Red Zone has been huge as well. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we can circle back to some of the interesting audio calls of Mike Patrick's career, that because some of them tie back to Houston as well. But also, it's line season, and there's more and more intel dropping about all sorts of teams. We'll dig into some of that as we go around the NFL next.